If you have your Bibles with you, you want to turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. We did have a lot of fun on the river yesterday. Thank you guys all for coming. And I think we had 31 or 32 people on the river with us, something like that. And special thanks to Jim and Barb for letting us play on their property and barbecue and hang out. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of that last mark to school starting, which leads me to the next thing I want to do. Yeah. We had a lot of, it's fun. I love being on the river. I was a guide for a few years and I just love being on the river. And so it's fun to watch people figuring out how to do whatever it is that they're doing. And it's fun to kind of like, I felt like we just kind of bounced down the river, flipping people's boats over and getting them upright again and getting them water out of the boat and then back in and scooping up water bottles and shoes and hats that are floating away. But everybody did such a good job, and it was really good. But I want to, before we get started on this, I want to, anybody who is, I know a lot of you have gone back to work this week, but you are going to be working with kids in our school system. Would you stand up? You're a teacher's aide, you're a teacher, you're administration, you work in the office. After school, whatever it is that you are about to embark in with our, not just the children, of course, of this church, but of our county. Cool. So, will you guys just extend your hand? We want to just pray for, if you've ever worked in the school or driven by it, you know that, or you live nearby within shouting distance, you know that there's just an extra portion of grace. So, Lord, we first of all, just thank you for the people that are called to be with our kids and look after them and raise them and teach them and train them and all the things. And Lord, we just thank you for their willingness. We thank you for the calling on their lives. And we just pray for extra grace, extra love, extra patience, right words at the right time for not just the kids, but also for their colleagues and their fellow teachers and everybody else, that the school systems in Trinity County, the public school systems, would just be an amazing place to go to school. Amen? So one more thing. We kind of don't always do this, but I felt like the Lord laid it on my heart. If you are homeschooling your kids, do we have anybody that's doing that? If you're homeschooling? Okay. Well, I know there's a couple. Yeah, Carrie's homeschooling her kids. And anyway, you get to do everything. You are the teacher. You're the principal, you do all the administration, you do everything. So anyway, that's a job that I wouldn't want, but it's awesome that some people do it. Pretty amazing. We just want to pray for them too. So bless them, God. All right. So you guys open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. I'll add one more thing to the school. No, never mind. Filter. Sometimes what I think is not what everybody thinks, so I'm just going to stop. All right. We're starting in 12:12. As in, the filter doesn't grab far enough, so I just... Anyway. All right. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is made up of one part, but I'm sorry, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I want to talk about the body of Christ, but as it reflects and connects to community and the community of Christ, the community of believers. And first, I kind of want to throw some things out there for us to think about that are kind of, I haven't talked on it for a while, but I think we're learning, or at least we get the concept that what we value, what we choose to value, what we deem as important, changes and shifts our behavior, influences our behavior or our lifestyle, which is the word that I like to use. And as the lifestyle changes, our lifestyle choices, what we value creates that lifestyle. And as a group of people, if we live a lifestyle as a group of people, actually becomes culture. It becomes part of the norm. It becomes part of what's accepted. And so I want to talk about a little bit about how we think about the body of Christ, how the body of Christ actually operates, and then what we need to value a little bit in order to make sure we're moving towards the right, moving in the right direction to actually be a healthy body of Christ. Sound good? All right. All right. So first, I just want to propose that it's not your purpose that makes you part of the body, but it's being part of the body that gives you purpose. And it's going to really make sense. It's actually quite important. And I think in a lot of ways, sometimes we get it backwards. And I'll say that again. It's not your purpose. It's not your purpose that actually should connect you or make you part of the body. It's actually being connected and being part of the body that actually gives you purpose. I'm going to explain a little bit more, but I think sometimes that we think that what we do makes us worth something, but it's more who we are that gives us what we do. There's a whole lot in this passage of scripture about function and title, if that makes sense. Title in the ear and the eye, and function in hearing and sense of smell, right? Those are the ones that are mentioned. And the point is that you're just because your title doesn't match what you feel like, or just because you aren't the part of the body that feels like or that is being highlighted, it's not for that reason that you don't cease to be a part. And here's the interesting thing about that, is just because you don't, you're not in the place or doing the thing that you think you should be, you don't get to choose to separate from the body. You don't get to actually, it's not for that reason that you separate. So here's what's amazing. Think of the context of what Paul's saying when he's teaching that. Is he wouldn't be teaching it if it wasn't something that manifested in the church. So let's picture this as apart from just a human body, but in the body of Christ. People are seeing that either there you can be on a couple different sides of this thing. I either know who I am and my purpose in the body. So if I'm an ear, I know it's to hear. Sticking with that. If I'm an eye, I know it's to see. If I'm a foot, I'm used for walking. If I'm a toe, I'm used for balance. How's that? And then there's another side. There's the other group of this that he's addressing, that just because you don't fit one of those, you don't get to not be a part of the body. You don't get to actually say, well, I'm not that, so I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to become something else. Are you guys okay? Okay. So let's start here. no matter how effective, no matter if you're serving your purpose, no matter if you're not serving your purpose, if you are in Christ, you are part of the body. So the discussion is not whether you're a part. The discussion is what part are you and how effective are you? Let's read on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Starting in 21, it says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you." Again, he's addressing the separation thing. Like, I don't need you because we're all eyes over here. We're all ears over here. We're all hands over here. It says, "And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." Some of you guys might remember that it's been a few years that my sister was diagnosed with MS, and it was a kind of crazy time. But we started kind of studying what different diseases and what that kind of stuff happens, and it's actually a disease that your body actually attacks itself. They don't really know why. They don't really understand it, but they can see it. They can see that your body chooses parts of its body to attack. And it seems to be at random for the most part. Of course, when you get into anything, everybody's got a theory. But really, it's for whatever reason, your body chooses to attack. And there's a few other diseases where the body actually attacks itself. You guys know what they're called? Yeah, they're called autoimmune diseases. And it's where your body actually begins to turn on yourself. And there's a whole bunch of different things that theories, but as far as the medical community, they diagnose a couple different, or they prescribe a couple different things, but they're all called something. They're a drug that has a title. Do you guys know what the title is? It's an immune suppressant. Yeah, so it basically, there's a couple different types, but they basically suppress the immune system, because your immune system is what fights off the things that shouldn't be there. And in an autoimmune, it means that your immune system is actually turning on itself or a part of your body and kind of sees it as an enemy for whatever reason and begins to just attack it and wreak havoc in your body. And so what they do, and of course, this isn't a medical, so I'm not saying this is what they're supposed to do. I'm just saying what they do is, so your body doesn't actually destroy itself. They give your immune system, they dumb down or they disempower your immune system. So your immune system will actually back off. Your immune system will actually become weaker. So you have to weaken the entire system because the system is attacking itself. Now, I just want to throw this out there because it's such a good picture. How many of you guys know or believe that the church should walk in more power than we currently do? Yeah. Can we raise our hands? Okay. Yeah, we want to. We want to walk in more freedom and more power, and we want our prayers to land more powerfully. It's why we talk about our authority and how to pray and what to pray. I mean, we want to walk in that authority, and we want to be powerful. We're created to be powerful. We were created to bring kingdom. We were created to carry and host the presence. And I think we would mostly all agree that it's not God's limitation that's not reaching the world. It's ours. And I want to propose to you that the limitation is actually connection. I believe that the body of Christ, properly connected, has limitless power from God through Jesus Christ. Now, that's not true unless it's true. That's not true in our, we don't walk in limitless power right now. Right? We're all agree. Yes, we need more power. Yes, we want to walk in that. So here's the thing, and this is where we are at. This is why I'm preaching on this. Is that if this is true, if the body, and we don't have to get as extreme as attacks itself, but if we just, even though we can go there, if we look at the church as a whole, we look at the body of Christ as a whole, we don't exactly get along that well. But even aside from that, even aside from literally fighting as strong as like a disease, we just don't always, we're just not always that connected. We're just not always, we don't always value the parts of the body that should be valued. We don't always even notice the parts of the body that should be noticed. And I believe that the power that we're meant to walk in, one, if not the biggest, thing that's holding us back is that our inability to be connected. Because I believe that God actually prescribes an immune suppressant so the body of Christ, when it's not healthy, literally has to be disempowered so it doesn't destroy itself. That's what I believe. Yeah. Jesus is right. He loves us so much that he has to weaken us so we don't destroy ourselves. Just think about that for a second. Romans 12:5 says, "In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." I think we're in a, this is just a cultural diagnosis. I think we're in a time in culture where, and moving towards a time in culture, where we care less and less about each other. Now we, I believe, are the blessing of living in a small town is that sometimes you just can't do that. You can't get away from your neighbors. You can't get away from, and you can, I guess, you move far enough out of town, but for the most part, like you, we kind of are connected. We kind of, you guys are, some are disagreeing, some are agreeing. I don't know. The point being is that we are connected. Like when you're, you know, we're more connected than if you've been in, if you remember the last time you went to a larger city. You know, people can live right next to each other for a long period of time and never even meet. It's just not part of the culture. So our culture, our little microculture in Weaverville and a lot of small town culture is that we do know each other. We are a little bit more engaged. But at the same time, I think globally our culture is, or at least nationwide, our culture is moving towards caring less about each other, being more independent. The challenge is not that big of a deal out there. It's that everybody keeps going. The challenge is when that culture, the world's culture, gets into the church and it replaces or shifts or change or takes the place of kingdom culture, which kingdom culture very clearly is that we are meant to be connected, to actually own each other's things, right? Where we own each other's victories, we own each other's failures, we own each other's honor. That we actually belong, and in Romans 12 it says we actually belong to each other. How many of you guys know you take different care of a car that you own than one that you rent? Maybe not all of you guys, but if we're honest, we spin the tires a little bit more, maybe, if we know we're not replacing them. You know, we it's just a mindset. It's a thought process. What if we were part of a body of Christ that people literally, no, don't get me wrong, but took ownership of each other? That we loved each other in such a way that looked more like ownership than everybody's on their own. And I just want to suggest that I just want to throw it out there that I think that the body of Christ, that being a true body of Christ connected, that we share so much. So, all right, an actual body shares the same blood, same DNA, same action. How many of you guys know if you hurt your hand, it doesn't mean that your other hand's like, tough luck, we're going on with doing what, like the whole body hurts. It's like, I smashed my finger, I smashed my toe, right? What happens when you stub your toe? If it's hard enough, your whole body falls on the ground. We're down, we're out. Go on without me. Right? We were on the river. You can go in knee deep. Your whole body's cold. God, it's so cold. Right? What if we were about, what if the body of Christ actually existed like that? That we actually experienced things together, that we actually were connected enough to experience each other's successes. It doesn't happen naturally. It's why there's instruction, why Paul's giving instruction to the church of, listen, you guys got to stop dividing over purpose. You got to stop dividing over assignment. You have to stop dividing over what you think is important, what you don't think is important. And you have to realize that in the end of the day, none of that matters. What matters is your connection through Christ. Your connection. You are the body. So much so that you own each other's stuff. Are you still with me? Okay. Ephesians 2 says, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. I want to shift a little bit of the focus because I want to talk about actually how do we become the body? How do we become this thing, right? The body is just a word that we apply because it's a good word picture. But another one that in Scripture is the house. We're actually a house. We're actually a structure built with living stones. That God's actually assembling us to build something, to build His church. So see this picture. I've worked with bricks a little bit. I'm not very good with bricks, but I've worked with bricks a little bit. I know enough to know that to build a brick house, you need more than just a pile of bricks. Right? We can have this plan to build a brick house, and we can have the materials delivered in the driveway. Or let's just picture a stick frame house, which most of us live in, if you didn't know. There's sticks in the walls, square ones. Anyway, not these walls. These are metal. There's some stick frame walls out there. So anyway, we're getting off topic. The point being, if you've ever seen a house built, you know that when Trinity Lumber comes and dumps all the stuff in the yard to build the house, you're still a long ways away from your first night in your new house. Because a home is actually far more than the sum of its parts. You can look around this building, for instance, this room, for instance, there's actually not many parts to this room. And yet, when they're assembled in the way that they're supposed to be, when everything's in line and attached, it's pretty impressive. It can house and hold quite a few people. We can actually create a box that we can control and change the climate. It's pretty amazing. It could be 105 out there, and it would be a cool 72 in here. Pretty amazing. We can amplify sound. We can record things. We can do all this kinds of stuff, but it's more than just a pile, more than just the sum of its parts. It's more than just sheetrock and wires and steel. It's assembled. It's put together. It's stacked with order and a plan and precision. And that's what the Lord's doing. And so it's more than this picture. We have to be more than just gathered material. Right? Even when the material's gathered and sitting in the parking lot or sitting on the property being ready to be built, there's still individual materials there. And every material has its purpose, right? If you're a 2x4, you're gonna go part of the structure. If you're wiring, you're gonna go through and you're gonna carry, you know, current from this place to that. If you are, you know, if there's the sheets of subfloor, you're gonna go to hold people and hold structure together. So it's obvious to see, even when it's all sitting out there, that everything has a different purpose. But until it's assembled, until it's in the place it's supposed to be, there's still work to be done. We're still not connected in a way that serves a greater purpose. We're still just a bunch of parts. But God has a purpose that He needs these parts to be assembled in a way that serves His greater purpose. Does that make sense? You guys are with me. And in this assembly, in God putting together these parts, we become more than just the sum of our parts. More than just putting them all together, right? They can be put together. They can be sitting together in the parking lot. But when they're assembled in the way that He wants, we become more than just all these parts. In 1 Peter 2, it says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, chosen by God, and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. See, God's building His church using a whole bunch of different parts. And we have these two pictures, whether it's whichever fits better for you, whether it's a body of all these, you know, bodies made up of many parts, but it's one body, or whether it's a structure, it's a building that has many parts, but they're all become one thing, one structure. The point is connection. And the point is that Christ being at our cornerstone. I used to, many moons ago, I used to lay hardwood floors. And when you're laying a hardwood floor, you have a couple things you got to figure out. So if we were putting a floor in this building, in this room, you have to figure out where your line's going to be, because once you set your line, it's going to be that line until the end. And so it's just like I said, I haven't done bricks, and so I don't know a lot about bricks or stonework. I've done a little bit, but not a lot. But the idea of a cornerstone is that if the cornerstone is straight and the sides are straight, you can build off of those sides and the building will be straight as long as the line stays straight, as long as you follow. Right? And what 1 Peter says, it says that we, as long as we trust in Him, right, as long as you actually look down the line and see, okay, this is the way the cornerstone is facing, we're in line. Meaning that I might not be able to see the entire structure. I might not be able to know everything that's going on. But I can look down and I can see, and I can trust in Him that I'm in the right place. I'm connected. See, one of the things you do when you're building hardwood floors, most hardwood floors are tongue and groove. And what's cool about tongue and groove is that each of them lock in. If you know, one has a tongue like this, and one has a groove that fits in it. And so what happens is if there's spans of floor that are not as strong as other spans, or there's places you can't nail because of electrical or plumbing or things like that, they're locked together to something that's next to them that creates a strength that actually transfers through the whole floor. And so really the most important thing as you're moving along, as you're building off of that starter piece, off of that straight piece, off of what, it's not stone, but off of that cornerstone board, the most important thing is the connection. Because if you make a tight connection on one end of a board and the other end of the connection doesn't get pushed in tight, all of a sudden you don't notice maybe, in a couple more boards you're going to notice that there's a curve in the floor. Something happened. Why? Oh, because there was a part of the connection that was lost. There's part of the tongue and groove that didn't get where it was supposed to go. The same thing with tile. If you've ever seen tile, I'm sure you've seen tile. The same thing with tile. You can have one tile that's totally straight and square, and everything's going to follow off that, right? A cornerstone. But if it gets off, if one of those little spacers that falls out, and someone steps on it and it gets twisted like this, every tile is going to go off that tile. And so they're all going to start to wander. And then the farther away you get from the cornerstone without staying true, the bigger of a mistake you have, the bigger gaps, the bigger angles that you lose. The point of all this to say is that our obligation as the body of Christ, as the structure that He's building, as the parts that He's assembling, is to trust in Jesus Christ. That's where we're at. It's to trust in the cornerstone. It's to find the true edges of who Christ is. And some of that you get from the pulpit. Some of that you get from, hopefully, you get that from the pulpit. You get it from learning. You start like, oh, okay, I didn't see that, or I didn't know that, or I learned something new about the character and the heart of God. And so maybe there's adjustments, or maybe it's just confirmation. But you can't get it all from here. You can't. You have to get it from here. You have to read about the angles and the straight edges. And you have to get it from, not from here, but from personal time with the Lord, from spending your personal prayer time, from worship and celebration. It's amazing what God just hands to us in revelation of His character when we're in His presence, when we give Him time to speak to us, when we take time to worship and praise Him. See, we as individuals have a responsibility to be the best version of ourselves in order that God can build what He needs to build. I could tell you, after building things, there's nothing more frustrating. That's not true. It's very frustrating, I'll say that. It's very frustrating to be building something and you find out that some of your materials aren't correct. Right? If you're building a wall, you can actually buy stud length 2x4s, so they don't take any cutting. You can buy them to the length that you need them to build an 8-foot wall. So you buy a whole stack of them and you want to build a really long wall, and so you just assemble them as if they're all the same length. And then all of a sudden you decide, or you figure out, that there's three of them that are short right in the middle of the wall. Guess what happens? You look up there and your wall goes, whoop. Oh, man. Right? They were fine when they were sitting in the parking lot. You couldn't even tell. They're laying next to some other 2x4s. You couldn't even tell that they were half inch off. But if we want to become something that's greater than just standing alone, we have to make sure that our walls are true, our measurements are right, we know what's in here, we know what's in here, we know what's in His heart. Your core values, right? We started talking about culture in the very beginning, that we have to know what our culture is. We have to know what our belief systems are. We have to know that when we're put in the place, if we want to be put in the place that God wants to put us, if we want to be used in the place that God wants to use us in this greater structure, we have to be ready. And I don't know any way to get ready without His presence, without time and investment, investing in your relationship with Him. Does that make sense? So God's building an amazing thing in the church. And we've been praying since before I was born that there would be more than just spotty revivals. We want a nation in revival. We want a planet in revival. I want to propose to you that the church is not a strong enough structure to carry a nation in revival yet. And when we are, He'll give it to us. It's like delivering 25 2x4s and then praying for God to build a house. 3 sheets of sheetrock and praying for God to sheetrock the walls. There's just not, and I don't mean numbers. I mean, we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. We have to be serving and standing in our place as part of the body connected to the cornerstone. I know I'm mixing metaphors right now, but connected to the cornerstone. If you're in the wall and you're realizing you're coming here, you're like, yeah, I'm getting to be part. And someone, obviously this is a metaphor still, stay with me, goes, hey, tell me about the cornerstone. Where's the cornerstone? If you can't look around and at least know the direction of the cornerstone, like we're all pulling off of that place. We're getting our measurements off of that cornerstone. It's right over there. I can't maybe see it right now. I feel like maybe I'm not, but I know where it's at. I know where we're pulling measurements off of. I know where we're, and there's some, like, we learn more and more and more. We're in a process of learning all the time. So it's not like you got to know everything. I'm not saying that. But if you can't answer the question of where's the cornerstone, what are you pulling off of? Where are you getting the core values that you're, how are you measuring how you're doing? We don't want to be measuring off of each other. We don't want to be comparing. We don't want to live in there. Like this is what he's talking about in the body. It's like you guys are comparing off each other, but God designated you to be an ear. So just listen. God designated you to be an eye. So just pay attention and see. Don't compare yourself to the ear and what he's doing. Don't say because I'm a foot, I don't need the head, or a head doesn't need a foot. Or you guys with me? You okay? One of the cool things that Paul said was, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now, it's really important that we don't grab the first part of that line without the second part. Just follow my example. No. I'll follow your example when I can see that it's clearly connected to the cornerstone. Like, and I can see that, oh, yeah, that's what that looks like, right? So it would be easy if all our instructions were just in here. Like, how do I treat my boss that da 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 da? What do I do with my kids that do this, this, and this? Now that information it's in here, but it has to oftentimes be applied. And that's where that follow my example comes. When we actually stay connected and learn from each other and grow from each other, and the example that we want to follow is that example that's shored up, if you know that term, like that its angles are correct and then it's pulled off of the cornerstone. We're meant to be pressed together, just like a hardwood floor, just like tiles. We're meant to fit together, to encourage one another, to build off of each other, and to own each other's successes and failures. And I want to end with this. If we are going to be... No, I'll go back one more. If we want to walk in all the power that we were created to walk in, we have to be a healthy body. To be a healthy body, we have to have healthy connection. First and foremost to the cornerstone, but also to each other. We're never meant to stand alone. We're called to be more than the sum of the parts that we are. Worship together. Pray together. Eat together. Play together. Talk. Hang out. Travel. Go on walks. Whatever it is, press in. Get connected. You want revival? You're talking about seeing Weaverville shift, seeing Weaverville change. That's just Weaverville. You want to see shift and change in the world? Our ability to see that happen and be a part of it is sitting right next to us. God will never trust us with influence over the world if we can't even fight for the connection sitting across the aisle or in a seat a couple. He just won't. We're not safe enough. Does that make sense? it's not to be discouraging, it's to be encouraging. It's tough to be connected, but it's not impossible. Influencing the world feels impossible. But if you realize that really I can influence the world by just having good neighbors, I don't mean having good neighbors like make them good. I mean like having a good connection with my neighbors, having a good connection with my church, having a good connection with my friends, having healthy back and forth where we're celebrating together, we're mourning together, we're encouraging, empowering one another. If that's what it takes to change the world, all of a sudden changing the world becomes doable. I actually have something to do. And I can do that. I can focus on that. I can get better at that. I can plug in those places. Does that make sense? Are you guys okay? Are you with me? All right, worship together, pray together, eat together, play together. Will you guys stand up? These kind of messages are exciting to me because I just am naturally a doer. And so I like to know what to do. I get impatient and I'm like, what do I do? And so this is meant to encourage you to find something to do. It can really be as simple as conversations. It can be really be as simple as taking somebody to lunch. It can really be as simple as volunteering somewhere, serving somewhere, attending or organizing a time of prayer together, worshiping together. It really is. I think that oftentimes we don't, when we think about what to do, we want to, you know, be a missionary in Africa, and we're like, well, I can't do that, so I'm just going to do nothing. Like, there's a whole lot in between becoming this whatever picture of successful ministry looks like, and actually, it's just being part of the body. Just be a successful, healthy part of the body. Love the people next to you. Love the people around you. Encourage, spend time, and invest in them. And that is actually what's going to change the world. Put your hand on your heart if you want. I just want to pray for clarity and purpose, and that we would be able to see what our function is and have grace for everybody else's. And so, Lord, just revival is an inside job. We accept that revival is an inside job. That we are called to be revivalists, and before we are called to lead revival. And so I just pray that you would just stir us up to be everything that we're supposed to be in the body, in the community, and as an individual in our relationship with you, as we lean and press into the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you give us strength, courage, peace, patience with each other, patience with ourselves, and show us the importance. Lord, I just pray that you just, in whatever ways, in your creative ways, Lord, that you would just show us the revelation of the importance of our community connection with the body of Christ and having a healthy connection. Whether it be, I just feel like through dreams that we dream about it, this healthy body connection, the body of Christ, and this healthy connection that we need to have, and this pressing in and leaning into the cornerstone and what it is that you're building in the church. Lord, stir up our hearts to grab a hold of our community. Our church community and our greater community. Stir us up to value and fall in love with the people that are around us. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing such good things with the body of Christ and with the church. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.